A map will be unveiled Thursday for the Stevens Point flowage of the Wisconsin River. It's a bathymetric map showing the underground topography and the water depths, a big project undertaken by a UW-Stevens Point graduate student, Christine Keller, and also the GIS education specialist for UWSB, Douglas Muscoviac. Christine, how did this project get started?
When I was going through my graduate thesis, or my graduate work at UWSB, I was mapping lakes in eastern Marathon County. So I mapped 11 lakes for contours. We call it a bathymetric map, but it basically shows the three-dimensional surface of a water body on a two-dimensional surface like a piece of paper. So I had a really strong interest in contour mapping. And then I also was able to participate in a project on Lake Wausau, which is another impoundment on the Wisconsin River in the heart of the city of Wausau. And we created a contour map for that community as well. So when I came to the GIS Center to work, I knew that they had the equipment because I had been using it for my graduate work. And there had been a lot of buzz around the community. Well, you've done Lake Wausau. Is there any plans to do any other water bodies in the community? So I pitched the project to the GIS Center and I said, there's no existing map of the Stevens Point flowage. So there's no resource that the community has to get this information, and I think it would be an excellent community resource. And we had talked to many different users of the flowage, and they agreed that a resource like this needed to exist.
This is the kind of thing that fishermen love to get their hands on, and basically anybody that loves to be outdoors. What types of features are they going to find in this map?
The main theme of the map is the depth information or the contour information. Seeing where those steep shelves are located, seeing what the topography of the backwater areas is, that's going to be really important. It's really easy to distinguish where the main channel of the river originally cut through. And then we've done a really good job of inventorying what the islands look like out on the flowage. And then in addition to that really important depth information, then we also have all of the recreational information on the map. So all of the public parks that are adjacent to this water body and the public access points. So boat launches, canoe launches, fishing piers, walking, hiking, and biking trails. All of that information is going to be revealed on the map.
One of the things we know about the Wisconsin River, especially this time of year, is it goes up and it goes down. I'm guessing that these are average depths based on the normal flowage, right?
The Consolidated Water Power Company, who actually owns the dam that creates this particular impoundment, does a really good job of regulating the water elevation. So their target water elevation is 1,087 feet above sea level. And unless there's some type of a flood event or... And I don't even think it's an issue when there's a drought occurring, but if there was some type of a flood event, then you would have a rise in water levels. But I would say, on average, that 1,087 feet of water elevation, they hold that pretty tight.
One thing that a lot of people remember from a few years ago when the flowage was drawn down is all the hidden underwater obstacles from back in the lumbering days, like those big square log structures. Any chance those are on the map?
On this particular map, we haven't revealed any of the structure that's underneath the water. We are hoping, and it's just a wish at this point, that in phase two of the project, we could do some type of interactive map. And then we do have the 2008 drawdown aerial imagery available. So our goal would be to take the contour information and then place it over the drawdown imagery so that everybody can see what the structure looks like underneath the water body.
You have that drawdown imagery?
Yes, we do. In fact, the city of Stevens Point flew that mission when the drawdown took place, and so the university retains a copy of that image.
So you have all those hidden obstacles, just a matter of phase two operation.
Yes, we do.
Fishermen are going to love you for that, you know that.
Yes. There's also another resource. I believe there was a video that was shot at the time that the drawdown imagery occurred. I think you can get a copy of that from one of the local community businesses.
A lot of hours went into mapping this out. Now, most of us that don't do what you do have no idea how you get these data points for where it drops off. And when I was young, we only knew how deep it was by dropping an anchor. You've got a lot better tools to do this now, right?
Yes, we do. With the integration of global positioning systems technology with sonar technology, which actually uses a sound wave that travels through the water column and measures depth, So you're getting the depth information, and you're also collecting your latitude and longitude position at the same time. And the equipment has the capability of recording that information every second. So as you're boating along at 4 or 5 miles an hour, when we're doing a survey like this, every second it's collecting your latitude, longitude, and depth position.
So it goes pretty fast as well.
It goes relatively quickly compared to the old process, like you were alluding to. Prior to the 1960s, when they would go out and map lakes in Wisconsin, they would typically do it over the ice. And then they would be manually measuring out some type of a grid, whether it would be a 50-foot grid or a 100-foot grid. And everywhere that there was an intersection on that grid, they would drill a hole through the ice and, like you said, manually measure the depth with some type of a anchor or plumb bob.
The satellite systems that you use give you some very tight accuracy.
That's correct. Most of the GPS receivers that we use commercially in our vehicles or handheld units or even our smartphone units are only capable of collecting satellite information. And, you know, on a good day, you might be within 10 feet of the actual location. But on a bad day or a bad time of day, you might be 30 or 40 feet from the actual location that you want to be present at. We use a method called differential correction to take those positions and get better information about the position that we're located at on the ground. So the equipment that we have, Bluetooths, so everything is wireless, and it connects to a system called the WISCORS network, Wisconsin Continuously Operating Reference Stations, and that's maintained by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. What they've done is they've put base stations and they've spaced them out across the state. I believe they're approximately 50 kilometers apart. The base station always knows where it's located. So when it's collecting that satellite information, it's taking its position and then it's telling your receiver where it's precisely located, usually down to the sub-centimeter level of accuracy.
Sub-centimeter level.
Correct. So on the latitude and longitude, our normal deviation is sub-centimeter. The vertical is a little bit more variable, probably looking at about 3 to 4 centimeters on your vertical accuracy, but still we're really happy with the accuracy of that.
So you can just about pick out that needle in a haystack with that stuff.
Yes.
Transportation Department maintains that primarily for what, road building and other construction projects, but this is a new application, isn't it?
That's correct. I think the normal typical use of the WISCORS network would be for road construction or other city or county construction projects that are occurring. And then our network of land surveyors in the state also use that information to draw property boundaries. So they're using those corrections to make those type of property distinctions. And I contacted the Wisconsin Department of Transportation and I let them know about the project and what it was that they were doing. And they were excited about it because it is a new application of their system.
So if we're driving down the road and we see a survey crew, that's pretty much what they're using at that time is this system, right?
They use a variety of different techniques when they survey the land, but this is definitely one of the tools that they have in their toolbox to survey property boundaries.
I'm going to go pick on the advisor.
All right.
Not the first time a project like this has come through, but this one a rather large project, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. This was this represents about 13 discontinuous days on the water with one graduate student and a couple undergraduates performing the field surveys. And then many days in the lab interpreting that information to create the interpolated terrain surface of the lake, as well as the contours that are easier to interpret.
Once you get that data back here to base, how long does it take to actually do that interpolation process and put together a final product?
Well, there's 120,000 data points, and what Christine had done is sometimes you'll get a false reading, especially in the shallow areas. So she needs to interpret which ones might be miscalculations and get those out of the point cloud. That takes time. The interpolation process, once your points are verified, the computer runs the 120,000 points and then will estimate the depths in between those points. And that's relatively quick. The computer takes care of that. Today's hardware, software technology is really mature and very solid.
The technology that you use now compared to what we had 5, 10, and 20 years ago really changed, hasn't it?
Yeah, with the opening up of the signals, global positioning system signals to the public, the signals themselves from the satellites are vastly improved. The hardware, the chips in the hardware are vastly improved. The software itself is a lot easier to use than it used to be. So doing this 10, 15 years ago when I was a graduate student was a lot harder.
Let's go back to Christine. First of all, you decide you're going to do the project. Now comes the planning. What do you got to do before you even
put a boat in the water and put gear in the water to start measurements?
That's a good question. So we wanted to carefully plan out this mission and determine how long is this actually going to take us. And with my experience with doing other maps similar to this, we can use the computer and our geographic information systems to determine, okay, if we want to run 300-foot transects, or if we want 300 feet between each transect line that we operate, how many miles are we going to be covering? How many miles is that shoreline area? And how long is this project going to take? It's really important to the planning process because time is money. So we planned for 12 days out on the water, and I think we actually performed 13 days on the water. So we were very happy with all of the planning and everything that went into this. So that's definitely an important piece, is knowing about approximately how long this is going to take you and how many days you're going to be out on the water. And then there's always things that come up, especially on a flowage like this. When you're running in the backwaters, you might run into a stump or hit a shallow spot. And so you can't always anticipate for all of the conditions that you might come across when you're out conducting a survey like this. But we've gotten pretty good at the mission planning process, and we know approximately how long projects like this are going to take.
I can only guess that the backwaters took the longest part of the time, because some of those shallow areas, you can't get a boat through, and you still need those measurements, right?
That's correct. The boat that we used was actually able to get into waters that were about a foot deep or less. So we were able to get into a lot of the backwaters by boat access, which was wonderful. Then there is a little bit of image interpretation that goes into some of these maps too. So for example, because the water clarity on the Wisconsin River is relatively low, plants don't typically grow unless it's 2 feet deep or less. So if we see a lot of vegetation, we know that that's an area that is not going to be deep. It's going to be a relatively shallow area. So we're able to use some of that aerial imagery to determine what's going on in some of the areas that we couldn't access. And typically that's what's happening, is it's so shallow in those spots, they're very densely vegetated. It's not easy to always navigate through those locations. So then we kind of put our thinking caps on and we say, okay, this is probably an area where there isn't any depth to map or measure. And then the assumption is that it's 3 feet or less.
This project took a little commitment and sponsorship from outside of your department. I understand that some of these sponsors came looking for you instead of you looking for them. How'd that happen?
You know, once the word got out that we were mapping and that we were going to be distributing copies of the map to the public, we had several community sponsors that were very interested in getting their hands on copies of this resource for their users of the map.
Some of the fishing groups were involved in this, I believe. So I think 12 Apostles Muskie Club was one.
So, for example, the 12 Apostles Muskie Club definitely wanted to get copies of the map for their group. They host fishing tournaments, they do kids' activities, they stock fish, they do all sorts of community outreach and education. And this was a great resource for them to be able to share with their members of their club.
You have another sponsor that contributed quite a bit to this project, and it's not a fishing group. Who is that?
That's correct. Our key sponsor on the project is the North Central Wisconsin Stormwater Coalition. They contributed $1,500 towards the project, and they actually have 12 municipalities that are part of that group or that coalition, and they're going to be distributing their copies of the map to all of their different municipalities within our Central Wisconsin community.
I noticed by looking at the sponsorship mentioned at the bottom of the map that the Stormwater Coalition is reminding us that whatever ends up in the drain ends up directly in the river, and it's something I'm sure other departments of the campus, say College of Natural Resources, would be interested in getting that message out.
You know, the North Central Wisconsin Stormwater Coalition, part of their mission is education and outreach in the community. So when this opportunity came along to get one of their educational messages or pieces on a map like this, they were really excited about it, just reminding people that there is no filter between the stormwater that runs off of our land and the river that we recreate on, swim in, fish in, all of that good stuff. We feel like it's a good educational message and a reminder to people that we have one finite resource that we need to take care of.
A project like this is not a cheap project. I'm sure it takes more than one sponsor. Let's start off, what does it cost to do something like this? Any idea?
Well, the survey itself, I think, is estimated to be about $6 to $8 per acre, typically when you do projects like this. So larger water bodies are typically, they benefit from economies of scale. Smaller projects typically are a little bit more expensive because they're not as big. But we wanted to sponsor our students to do this work. We, as a center, we wanted to share our equipment to provide them with an opportunity to engage with a activity that they might experience as a geographic information systems professional. So the equipment as well as the time for this project was volunteered. But we also wanted to make this product, the map product, available for the community. And we knew that the printing costs are can run pretty high. And we wanted it to be available, wanted the map to be available to a large amount of community members. So our goal was to have 5,000 maps printed. And on the tear-proof, waterproof polyart paper, it costs a little bit more than $1 per map to create. So we started to ask for sponsors, and actually some of the sponsors came to us. One day on the water, for example, one of the members of the 12 Apostles Muskie Club asked us what we were doing on his flowage. And we told him, well, we're creating a map. We're doing a bathymetric survey. And he was very interested. He thought, he knew for sure the 12 Apostles would be very interested in sponsoring the printing of this map so that they could use it when they're hunting muskies. And not surprisingly, Bill's Muskie Club followed suit. Conversation among their members led to other sponsors coming to us, seeing if they could get their sponsorship on the map and contribute.
So in this rare case, you had sponsors coming to you before you actually had a chance to go to them.
Absolutely. Christine and our undergraduates were largely in charge of getting the sponsors, and they were getting phone calls and emails from, I think we had 20 sponsors in the end, sponsor the map. So our goal, I think, was to attract 30 sponsors. We got over $5,000 raised to have the map printed with 20 sponsors.
And what's coming up on the unveiling event, which we look for there?
Well, on Thursday, this Thursday, May 15th at 4:30, we plan to unveil this map at the Buchholz Park. We will have 200 extra maps on hand, sponsored by the GIS Center to distribute to the public. But the sponsors will be picking up their versions of the map to distribute to their members as well as other members of the public. We will have some brats and some food to enjoy, so we'll help celebrate a hard-fought semester. Students doing a lot of good hard work, having a good end to the semester. The chancellor will be there to say a few words, our dean will be there, and Christine will talk a whole lot more about the project, and we'll have lots of maps on hand to distribute.
Is there different versions of the map?
Well, we do have our unveiling copy, so we printed a very large copy of the map that we'll have on the wall, so folks that attend will be able to see the map from a distance. But the other copy of the map is a 22-inch by 35-inch map, double-sided, again on the polyart, tear-proof, waterproof paper. That'll be perfect for people using it on the water.
This department puts out some award-winning maps. Tell me about that.
Yeah, this last year our students at UWSP competed with professionals in Wisconsin at the Wisconsin Land Information Association, and two of our students took first and second place in the thematic map contest. Christine's map for her work on Lake Wausau and Joe Martel's work on the Menominee Place Names Project.
Both of those are award winners, and you've got these graduate students hitting the job force pretty soon with very excellent credentials.
We have excellent students here at UWSP, and they do really well in the job market.